Yeah, this is Warren. Brenda's not here yet. She went to the clinic and never made it back. She'll be here shortly.
Chelsea?
Yes, I'm here.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris Babcock?
Yes.
And Warren?
Here.
Paul?
Yes.
Angela is absent. Justine?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
You.
Yes.
Yes. We have a quorum.
Okay. We have a quorum. Next on the agenda, then, is the adoption of the agenda. Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we adopt the agenda that's in our packet with the following one change, moving Resolution 1823 from the consent agenda to resolutions number 9. Anyway, that's the only change in my motion. Thank you.
Do I need a second or anything? Are any objections to moving it? Okay.
Carol, to adopt the agenda.
Well, I mean to move it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we need a second on the amended agenda.
Second, Warren.
Okay, if there's no objections, then the agenda will stand as amended. We're down to the community roll call and public comment. So, Tina, you want to find out who's on, or I could. How about King Cole? Do you have any public?
Yes, Henry's here, and myself.
Okay. Sadly, we have no public. Nelson Lagoon?
No, I'm the only one here.
Okay. False pass? False pass? Do you have any public?
Even on.
You lost false pass. Akitan?
Yes, we have Mayor Bereskin.
Hi, Joe.
Mayor
Osterbeck.
Mayor Osterbeck, we have myself, Annie Bailey, Laura Tanis, Gary Hennig, Mary Teshi, Ernie Weiss, and Charlotte Levy.
Thank you. Cole Bay? Well, we don't have anybody in Cole Bay, do we?
I don't know if you're on.
Cole Bay, are you on? Okay, then. How about, does anybody at this time have any comment on any agenda items?
Elvin, Henry here.
Hey, Henry.
Hey, Alvin. We're having a meeting at the City Council here next week. I think it's the 16th. And I'll be bringing your resolution, when was that, 1823, to the Council and asking for support so that maybe the City could have a following resolution to support you when you go to Juneau. And I'm also going to bring up a discussion for the Board of Fish. The only name I've seen and I've heard fishermen call me would be about Duncan Field, so it would be a discussion topic with our council. And just a comment on your budget. I know you discuss budget each meeting, but through the year or two, I know there's been comments about giving raises to the two longest standing employees that the borough has. Tina and Roxanne, I recommend the Assembly make some recommendations to get that on the agenda and get these gals a raise. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Henry. There, that's good of you to take that resolution to your council, and we will keep in mind your other suggestions there. So any other comments? Okay. Hearing none. Minutes of the December 14th meeting.
We need a motion.
This is Chris Babcock. I make a motion.
Second Ward.
Okay. Did somebody else join?
Yeah, this is Chris. I finally am done with Trident.
Okay. My understanding, they're just getting started over there, so I don't think you'll be done with them. But that's just me.
Okay. Well, I'm done with them for now. I mean, as far as the today's meeting, they didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. So far, it doesn't look like they're going on the COD this fall, so looks like we might have to try to figure out something else for the getting the kids out here this fall.
Okay. And just for information, Lamar Cotton, the Sandpoint City Manager, is here now also. So anyway, we have,
okay.
Are there any, we have the motion on the floor. Are there any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, we'll show the minutes stand as written. Thank you. Financial report for December. This we need a motion on.
I'll make a motion on the financial report.
Carol made the motion. I need a second. Hello. Did we lose everybody?
I'll second that.
Second.
This is Josie.
Okay. Josie, second.
Hey, Mayor Osterbeck, can you guys speak a little bit louder over there in Sandpoint? We're having really difficulties hearing you guys.
Okay. How about now? Is that better?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor, so discussion on the financial reports. Annie, you want to, you or Roxanne want to go through it first?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. Before you is the December 2017 financials. The only item I'd like to point out is on page 9, which is upper right-hand corner, if you are online looking at it, is section or Fund 22, R22-203, other revenue. This reflects the $187,500 that was received from the City of Accutan through the designated legislative grant for the helicopter operations. That's the only big thing that's that I have to point out. Other than that, I'm available for questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Annie? Paul?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. During the workshop, I asked a couple of questions about the helicopter operation. Annie answered them, and I appreciate that. And so, thank you. I'm just making that comment. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Hearing none. Call the roll.
Chris Babcock?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josephine?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris Emmerich?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion carries. The November investment report is in your packets. Anybody have any questions on that? Annie, would you have anything to add to that? Or
Mayor Osterbeck,
okay?
I do not. Other than that, it has increased a little bit since the last statement that was provided in October.
Okay. Thank you. So on to the consent agenda.
Move the consent agenda.
Okay. Paul makes a motion to move it. Second.
This is Chris Babcock in King Cove. 18, I believe it's 1821, has some
facing problems in the resolution, maybe that will be fixed before or in the official one.
Assembly member.
Do we want to pull that and put it? Do we want to pull 1821 and put it on the under resolutions?
Typo. Oh,
yeah.
It's just typos.
Yeah,
Chris, I'll get those fixed.
Parts from
the original.
Oh, okay. All right, then. I didn't understand you there for a second. So, do we have a second?
I'll second. Second. This is Brenda. I'm here.
Okay. Thanks, Brenda. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda. No comment, so question on the consent agenda.
Paul.
Yes.
Josie.
Yes.
Ms. Emmerich.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris Babcock?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Okay. So, motion carries. Thank you. Item 7, we have a public hearing, so we... Oh, 1805? Isn't 1805 part of the consent agenda?
Yes.
Oh, it is? Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
My paper's stapled right off.
Paul is trying to mess me up here today again. So, anyway, so we're on ordinance 1802, so we need to move to adopt and then schedule or have the public hearing. We need a motion.
So move.
We have a motion by Carol.
Second.
Second by Josie. So now we are into the public hearing. It's open. We have any public comments on Ordinance 1802, adding Chapter 2.18.010 for administrator? Hearing none. Call question.
Mr. Mayor.
Oh, discussion.
Just a quick comment. Last meeting during the introduction, I think everything was explained satisfactorily. I assume there's no changes between the first reading and second reading. That's all. I'm just clarifying that.
Okay. No, I don't believe there are any changes. Any other comments? Okay. Tina?
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren? Warren Molson?
Warren?
Warren Wilson?
Yes.
Chris Babcock?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris Emmerich?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Under ordinances, we have nothing under that line item, but we have moved Resolution 1823 under Item 9. We need a motion to approve or
Move to approve. This is Brenda.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
Chris? Was that Chris?
Yeah, it's Chris.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we have resolution 1823 on the floor for discussion. Paul?
Oh, perhaps you could summarize some of your ideas when you...
Okay. So, basically, the resolution covers ideas that I've put together over the last year and a half attending meetings that were... Basically, meetings were requested by the governor of the state of Alaska to try and figure out a way to help stabilize small rural communities. And a lot of them dealt, you know, basically with the fishing industry. I hadn't seen anything in there that I had liked during the meeting, so I had put together a proposal on limited entry permits and transferability. So the basic part of it is... you could add a second name to your permit. You still own the permit. All the gear, whatever is attached to it, is yours. The second name on that permit would be able to go out with you, or they could run the operation, sign their name to the fish tickets, deliver fish. And that would be a big difference than what we're doing today. It would allow you to have a second skipper that you could mentor, if you will, into the fishery to the point where he's able to produce, take it to the bank, and show that he is a productive person and be able to buy out your fishing operation, if you would. And it also covers the prospects of a family that fishes and they lose their breadwinner, the person that actually holds the permit and fishes. And this does happen, it's probably happened in every community that we have, is the husband dies, the wife gets the permit, and currently the way the state law is written, I mean, after a couple of years, she's either out on the fishing grounds if she's capable, or she winds up selling the permit. So this would kind of address that problem, I would hope. And between these two, I think would add stability and maybe having more local participation in the fishery as some of us get older and get out of it. Maybe we get some of the locals in. And, you know, if you think about the local fishermen, the young fellers, it isn't like when we were young. You know, we went, what did it cost, $10 or something to go up and get a fishing license, and you didn't need a limited entry permit. You just had your fishing license, and if you could get a boat or a skiff or whatever, you could go fishing. Well, those days are gone. So I think it causes a lot of stress to the youth that are growing up that want to be in the fishing industry, because every fishery that we have anymore, it seems, especially all the federal fisheries, it's about impossible for a young person to buy into that. So the couple fisheries that we have, state fisheries, are salmon, which is now limited entry. We have halibut, which is basically quota system, which makes it limited entry. And we have state water fisheries that are still open access, but we're starting to have problems with those. So I think this would help maybe ease some of the stress on some of the younger people that wanted to stay in the fishery if they knew that there was a possibility that they could step in, work with you, and eventually buy you out of the fishery, and then they become part of the productive community. So I think in a nutshell, that's about where I am with it. Any questions?
Well, this is Brenda. Like we talked about in the workshop, this is something I think I really would like you to actively pursue and, you know, have it adjusted as it may need to be. Take it to maybe you mentioned names that you could take this to and hopefully get assistance with, but really strongly push this, because we've seen in the past, like you said, the husband has died, the wife gets the permit, has no one to fish that, and you can't lease the permit, as so, you know, it's stated in state law, but we want this to be able to be keep our communities viable, productive, our young people to have hope, that they can get into something, because I think right now they don't have really have hope. Where am I going to get a permit? Those things can cost anywhere from $50,000 to $400,000 at times. And there's so many of them are leaving the state, going to many other places, Washington, Oregon, Montana, and everywhere else around the world. But if we can get them to become mentored, be able to learn the industry, be able to be attracted and see something in themselves and in their community and in the fishery, I think that's going to raise the hope level for our generations to come. And so I really hope that this is something you would pursue as a future endeavor for our young people to get into the fishery, whether they are male or female. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Brenda. Any other comments? Hearing none? Oh, Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You did mention at workshop you're going to be in Juneau and talking to the Fisheries Committee and our representative and others in the legislature who have to pass a law changing the Entry Commission perhaps this year, or I think it'll be changed within the next couple of years, and it'll be, and I know you'll be following it, and everybody else will too. So I know we'll all be interested in hearing back on how the state's going to be addressing this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And I think as this thing moves on down the road, you know, it depends what happens here, but we also have Swampsea coming up in the second of March. So as we see where this goes, it might be also something that we would want to talk to Swampsea about. You know, that way we can talk to all the communities throughout the area. Anyway, with that, if there's no other questions or comments, call a question.
Brenda.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Chris Emmerich.
Yes.
Paul Grenholt.
Yes.
Chris Babcock.
Yes.
Chelsea.
Yes.
Justine.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. I thank everybody for their support on that. On to new business. During the workshop, we had a discussion on Board of Fisheries and North Pacific Management candidates. So I'm going to turn back to Ernie and then probably Paul on they can let everybody know where we are on this. I don't think I don't think we need a resolution or anything. I think just an update, and people could kind of ponder who you think would be good for this, and it'd probably be on the next agenda. Ernie?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So Assembly, after discussions with the mayor, I did put together this short memo that talks about the process the governor nominates for both the Board of Fish and the North Pacific Council. On the council side, for each seat, he'll put forward three names, and those names are due to the Secretary of Commerce by March 15th. On the Board of Fish side, he'll put one name forward and take it to the legislature. It would probably first start at the Fisheries Committee, which is chaired by Representative Louis Stutz, and it goes from there. I didn't put any names of candidates. I was hoping for a list from the governor's office of those lists, which would be incomplete because the process is ongoing. But they assured me they're going to get that list to me this week. I don't have it yet. As soon as I do, I will forward it to Tina, and she'll get it to you. The one candidate that has reached out for the Board of Fish is Duncan Fields of Kodiak. And he sent his resume and whatnot, and he mentioned an email that could not foreshadow any comments on any intercept issues. He said that, but he was you know, as we, it seems to me that Kodiak and Area M are getting closer and closer as they've got some of the same issues with intercept issues as we do. So I think we, he might be a good fit, but again, there are other candidates that I don't, he's the only one that I know about for the Board of Fish. On the council side, there are two seats open, as well as on the Board of Fish. On the council side, Chairman Hull is terming out, and then the other seat is held by Andy Mesereau, who is a charter fisherman from Seward, and his seat is also up. So I am available for any questions.
Okay, thank you for that, Ernie. Paul, do you have something you want to add?
Well, I believe that North Pacific Council appointments, it'll be a little clearer on where the state is leaning next month. And so I think we have little time to address that. And on the Board of Fish, I know Duncan did a lot of work drafting the Kodiak comments related to the intercept fishery in Kodiak and Cook Inlet. And I think anybody from Kodiak, I don't think we should have any trouble supporting, because generally on the Board of Fish on salmon issues, Kodiak's always helping us out a bit. And so I think by next month, particularly after your trip to Juneau and D.C., we'll have some more information. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Hearing none, we're going to move on to reports and updates. So I'm going to turn this over to you, Annie.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. Before you are all the reports and updates. So first off, I want to thank each and every one of you that were at the planning work session in December. It was very well attended, and I truly believe that we got a good product out of that. You know, we determined the borough's purpose, guiding principles, vision, services provided, and started the strategic initiatives. Since that time, Mary Teshi and I have met with Professional Growth Systems on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week for about 3-4 hours at a time, and have started going through the strategic initiatives and breaking them out into one year realistic goals that we meet. We're going to meet again on Friday because we weren't able to get through everything. And then on the 29th, we'll be meeting with Mayor Osterbach as well with PGS Mary and I to go further through it again. And then we're hoping that by the February 8th meeting, we will have something to present to you for your approval. Next is the hovercraft update. The borough has engaged a maritime attorney out of Seattle. He is helping us currently go through the purchase and sale agreement with the Kazakhstan company. He has a lot of changes. There were like 50 changes, I think, or more. So we're working through that process with Keith Whitmore, and hopefully we'll get that to the Kazakhstan company here soon for their approval. I'm also working with Keith and Toby on logistics for transporting it. And making sure we have all the stuff in place so we can move it when that time comes. The budget work session, we have a budget work session scheduled for February. Yes, I'm sorry.
Maybe stop between them and see if anybody has any.
I'm sorry. Here. Does anybody have any questions on the first two items?
Paul had one while we were on break. He wanted to know if we sell this thing to them, if we're going to get paid in their money, which he called it.
No, we will be getting U.S. dollars.
Okay.
I don't even know what Kazakhstan.
Hey, it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was just kind of, we wanted to put that in there for you. Okay, go ahead.
All right, anything else on the work session or the hovercraft? Okay. So the next item is the budget work session. We have a budget work session scheduled for February 28th from 9 to 1. We may need longer after I think about what we're going to talk, but it coincides with the Swansea Conference, so we're going to have it here in the Anchorage office. I have Newhouse and Vogler, who are our current auditors, scheduled to be here to help us go line by line through our financials. And then I also have APCM scheduled to come, who will help us go through our investments and talk about the investment policy and our procedures and what we're doing now. And then we'll see what else we can do from there. But that's just the basis, and I'm still working on the agenda for that. But, yeah, it'll be February 28th. Any questions on that? Okay, a few other things that aren't – there's one item that is not on this list, and I hope to have a memo to you at the February meeting, but I'd like to at least verbally tell you about the False Pass Harbor litigation and where we are to date on that. As you know, the borough and the Army Corps of Engineers entered into a project cooperation agreement for the construction of the False Pass Harbor in May 2014. The cost share agreement was 80% federal and 20% non-federal, and that 20% non-federal was the borough, with specific cost sharing requirements in place like that were required. The harbor was completed in 2009, and the contractor, Kelly Ryan, Inc., filed a suit against the Corps shortly thereafter. So we've been in litigation on this issue for a really long time. But in December of this year, we were notified by the Corps that the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals had awarded Kelly Ryan a $20 million judgment for procurement dispute arising in this issue. So they lost, and it cost the Corps $20 million. I was verbally informed by the Corps the day before Christmas break that the borough would be responsible for 20% of that judgment, so that's $4 million. This is going to be or will be a crippling effect on the borough's finances going forward because we don't have that money appropriated. And, you know, this dispute had nothing to do with the project's design, the engineering, or construction. It strictly had to do with the direct with the Corps on the contractual side. So the borough, we believe, with the assistance of Joe Levesque, borough attorney, and also Brad Gilman, who's our D.C. lobbyist, that we shouldn't be required to carry the significant share of this financial burden because we didn't do anything wrong here. So what we are doing is that Brad Gilman is working on an amendment to the WRDA bill, the Water Resource Development Act, and trying to get language in there to address the gross inequity in the interpretation of the project cooperation agreement. And then we also have Joe Levesque and a Seattle law firm, Foster and Pepper, ready to go to review when we need them to review available defenses based off the facts of the case. So I just wanted to inform you that this finally came in. Not good news, but we do have our lobbyist and also our attorney on this issue. When we're in D.C. at the end of this month, we will be meeting with the Alaska delegation to just specifically talk about this issue. It's already before Sullivan's office, so we're trying to get it in this WRDA thing to help us get out of the situation that is not our fault. So at the next meeting, I will have a memo in front of you. It will also have a short summary of the dispute between Kelly Ryan and the Corps to give you more information. And with that, I'll take questions.
Annie, why were we zeroed in on this dispute? What was the reasoning?
I'm sorry, what was your question, Justine?
Why were we a part of this? Why were we identified as part of the problem?
Right. We were identified as part of this problem due to the Project Cooperation Act that was signed to build the harbor. It was 80% federal, 20% borough, so 80% Army Corps, 20% borough. So we were brought into it because of that reason.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think, too, to add to what Annie just said, basically the 80-20 is standard when you deal with the core in your building breakwaters. So what she was also telling you is that through our DC lobbyist, Brad Gilman, he's putting together a packet for us to go around with, talk to not only our congressional people, but that, you know, this is extraordinary circumstances. It didn't have anything to do with the borough, so we're going to try and get ourselves out of this, but we'll see how that goes down the line here a little bit. Wait, Ann.
Okay, so with that good news, we'll move on. So as you know, Mayor Osterbeck, Laura, Tanis, and I will be going to D.C. from January 20th to the 24th. And then from there, Mayor Osterbeck and I will be going to Juneau from the 24th to the 26th to meet with, Speaker of the House Edgman, Senator Hoffman, the Governor, OMB Director Pat Pitney, and others to talk about the issues that we've been discussing, part of them the salmon limited entry as well. Other than that, it's just constantly day-to-day operations here. So if you have any questions, I'm available.
Okay. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you.
Are there any questions for Annie so far? No? Ernie, I believe you're up next.
Sure. Mayor and Assembly, my report's in your packet as well. I'll go through section by section as well. First up, North Pacific Council, the December meeting concluded just before our planning session, and you had a meeting, and you passed a resolution that addressed a couple of things that they were interested in. I submitted that resolution 1820 under staff tasking for this coming meeting in February, and requested them to actually schedule that action. So there's that. And the most important thing probably for our area at the February meeting will be adjusting the Chinook PSC limits for trawl. And, of course, I will be advocating that those are raised, and I think that'll go pretty smoothly. Otherwise, any questions on North Pacific Council? Okay, moving on. I had a little section on Pacific Cod, and as most all of you know, we did, Mayor signed a letter along with the cities of Sandpoint, King Cove, Falls Pass, and the tribes of all those communities, and requesting a disaster declaration from the governor a request to the Secretary of Commerce. So we'll see how that goes. Kodiak also did one of those. It's going to be a tough year for COD, obviously, and address that sort of in the next section under our winter fisheries meeting. A lot of it was about the COD. Krista Milani, in fact, went allocation by allocation. Some of those fisheries will not even be open, that the allocation is so small. The catcher, processor, trawl, the hook and line, CV, neither of those fisheries will be open because the allocation is so small and the fish are needed for incidental catch in other fisheries. But that meeting went real well. We've had it annually for 5 or 6 years now, and it's good information for the fishermen that are starting out in January fisheries. So I'll stop if there's any questions. Okay, moving on. Charlotte and I are scheduled to attend the Alaska Marine Science Symposium. It's a great place to hook up with researchers. And in fact, I'll be looking to see if we can get a research project for low power trawl excluders. Excluders are being used more and more to avoid bycatch of halibut and Chinook, and there hasn't been a research project in our area, and there's a lot of interest, especially from the commissioner's office. So that'll be the main interest there, but it's a great place. Most of it, for the first couple of years I went to that conference, it was all over my head, but I'm starting to understand some of the things they talk about there. And then moving on, I talked about some of the comments I'm working on. I've submitted comments to the Board of Game supporting the upping the bag limit on caribou since the population's increasing, and they'll have a stepwise. As the population increases, the bag limit will go up. I took the liberty of supporting that, and then that's the only one I've done. There are some other Board of Game ones you may want us to support as far as having resident hunters, but I haven't gone that far yet. And then working on stellar sea lion issues, we're kind of involved. Previous mayor had submitted a letter, and now they're asking us, well, what do you want? So I feel obligated now to follow through with some of those comments. I think the borough may want to think about, and maybe Swampsea, about OCS comments. Now that the president has kind of opened up the entire coastline of the United States, then he took out Florida, everything except for the North Aleutian Basin. So it's possible the borough may want to think about what our position is. Don't have to. Board of Fish, there's at least a couple proposals that will be coming up in March on the Dutch Harbor herring, and then in the Dungeness crab. They'll be setting up some regulations probably there. So that's all I got. Any questions?
Well, on the OCS proposals that are due there, I think there's a 60-day public hearing. I know Doug from Swampsea is going to be there. Were you going to be at that hearing in Anchorage on the OCS plan that presented?
Yeah, no, on the 23rd, there'll be hearings all over the country. In Anchorage, it's on January 23rd, and it's in the evening, and yes, I plan to attend. And we don't need to submit comments until after Swampsea, so we have some time.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Any other questions for Ernie? Hearing none. Thank you for your report, Ernie. Laura, do you have anything you want to add?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Osterbeck, members of the Assembly. You heard from Gary Henning earlier, giving you an update on the King Cove Road issue and working with DOI on that agreement. There's been a flurry of activity of, from the media about the King Cove Road that we've been dealing with quite a bit and has kept us very busy. Gary's nodding his head. Actually, since last Friday, sort of tapered off, I think, Tuesday evening. So we've been dealing with that. I've also been working on a document called Myths versus Facts, basically putting out there all the misconceptions that our critics have put out there about the issue, and then countering that with the factual information. So that's taken up quite a bit of time. We're finalizing that. Also been working on, as Mayor Osterbeck mentioned earlier, some background information related to Resolution 1823, the resolution that would add a second name to the limited entry salmon permits. I talked to a woman with the Washington's Fisheries Department Licensing Division, and it's interesting that Washington State allows up to two people on their limited entry salmon permits, and the second person they refer to as the alternate operator on the permit can be anyone the permit holder chooses. It doesn't have to be a relative. It doesn't have to be a spouse or someone from their community. It can be even someone from out of state. So it's interesting that their system is a lot more lenient in that respect. So I'm continuing to do some research on that end. Other than that, I'm working on In a Loop. Probably will go out early next week, although a lot of people who attended the planning session have already heard these presentations. There's a lot of people in the region that have not, so This will give them some information about some of the providers, business providers, as well as organizations that serve the region, including GCI, TelAlaska, Trident, Peter Pan Seafoods, EAT, the school district, Mayor Osterbach's presentation, as well as our administrator, Annie. And a few added stories will be in there as well. And then we're getting ready for our Washington, D.C. trip, which, of course, has a lot to do with the King Cove Road and some other borough issues. So if anyone has any questions, I'm available. Thank you.
Any questions? I might add something here at this point. One of the things that I've mentioned to Ernie, Laura, and Anchorage staff is, you know, since it looks like throughout the borough, excuse me, the communities, they want to take a more active stand on protecting our fisheries, especially our salmon fisheries. So we brought Eric on board starting the end of February to help us with that. And as you know, he's one of the folks that authored the WASOP study. I think one of the other, since we're going to become more aggressive in this, one of the things that I would like them to do is to start looking into how we got ourselves into the being shut down for the immature salmon, since they take place both in Chicnic and Kodiak. So, you know, during the winter prior to the season here, I would like to have some of that information put together and be ready to use if we need it to try and put a spotlight on why one area gets penalized for the immatures and the other two are basically participating at the same rate probably as we are, and they don't close. Because when you take a look at it, if you close an area for four or five fishing periods on sockeye, you've taken a lot of money out of the coffers of the cities and the boroughs. So anyway, that's just another project that I'm looking at out there, and we'll kind of see where it goes down the line here. So with that, Mary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My report is in your packet for your review. I just wanted to reiterate thanks to Assembly members and the mayor and staff who participated in the strategic planning workshop we had in December. I thought it was a good way to get to know all of you personally and to have you get to know me. So like Annie mentioned, we met with Professional Growth Systems twice already this week, and the strategic plan is starting to take shape. I think it's starting to look pretty good. So we at least plan to present that to you at the next meeting, I believe, in February after administrative review. For the Cold Bay Clinic, the letter of intent for Rasmussen Foundation is due at the end of this month. I had intended to get that to them this week. However, that'll probably be pushed back till next week, but that's okay. We have plenty of time. As a reminder, that request will be $375,000. Also for the clinic, like you approved for Resolution 1821, we are requesting $500,000 from the state to help us with construction. So, by our estimates, we still need an additional $2.2 million. So we are still looking for funding. It's a project that is the top of my priority list, so we'll continue to look for funding for that. Helicopter operations. December, we had a big push for mail and freight, a little over 13,000 pounds, about 204 passengers. I have been spending quite a bit of time on some personnel and operational issues related to the helicopter this month. However, those should be slowing down as that wraps up. And for the helicopter, I believe Annie and I are planning on going out to Accutan sometime in February to just review the operation, make sure things are running smoothly. So that should take place sometime in February, ideally. That pretty much wraps up my month. Just a reminder, as you all know, Swansea's coming up in March, so make sure you get your registrations in for that. Otherwise, if you have any comments or questions, please contact me. Thank you.
Any questions, Paul?
Yeah, thank you. Mary, I might have missed that comment about $375,000. Could you say that again, please?
Sure. So we are applying for a Rasmussen Foundation grant. It's a Tier 2 grant, and that request will be for $375,000.
What was the grant for? I'm sorry.
It's a Rasmussen Foundation grant.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, you're a noiseman. Harry talked to you. You have to listen a little faster. Any questions, other questions for Mary? Yes. Hello?
Yes?
Well, I thought somebody said something, but I guess not. So that's the end of the reports and updates. We appreciate them. Thank you all. We're on to assembly comments.
I have a comment.
Justine.
Yes, I would like to give my support, and I believe it's to a resolution from King Cove to increase the salaries of our two very dedicated employees. It's very important to do that. They've done a stellar job all these years, and they have not been noted. And I also like to ask a question. Since Trump has opened up offshore drilling, does that include the Bering Sea? And if it does, what are we going to have a stance on?
Justine, on the first part, you may have missed it. I know you were a little bit late. But anyway, we are working on the request from some of the assembly about the employees, and we will have that to you soon. And like I told everybody else, don't make promises in December because everybody goes on vacation. And you can't find anybody to get the stuff done that you need to do. That's why you don't have it now. But it's on the front burner. We didn't forget about it. It's going to happen. On the second part, I have no clue on what's going to be open or if there is.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'll just go ahead and restate. Every area, planning area in the country, except for the North Aleutian Basin, was proposed to be open during the next five-year period. And then Florida was taken off the table after a request from the Florida governor. So the Shumagins area on the South Penn is proposed everywhere but the North Aleutian Basin, which includes Bristol Bay.
Okay.
Thank you, Ernie. Thank you.
Justine, there won't be no lease sale 92.
Thank you. Thank you for both. Yes,
Mayor Mack, this is Chris Babcock. I have a couple of... Osterback, excuse me. I have a couple of comments that I'd like to maybe get a couple answers to.
Go ahead.
The first one, and I know we've been talking about it in our last couple of meetings, but what more has to be done with the Nelson Lagoon School before it's turned over to the city of Nelson Lagoon?
Chris, I have had a couple discussions on this, and Annie might want to step in here, but I think now it's for that school to be turned over. It has something to do with the land lease that was set up for, I believe it was like 50 years, and it was for the future city of Nelson Lagoon. So now I think it's down to the state of Alaska and the community of Nelson Lagoon working something out on the land deal. Annie, you want to go from there?
Yes, Mayor Osterback and Assemblymember Babcock. So where that is that we've been working with the state of Alaska Department, DCCED, which is like the Department of Community Development, and the Nelson Lagoon Tribal Council on this for about 2+ years. We are currently at the point where the Nelson Lagoon Tribal Council can pass a resolution saying that they are going to accept it. And when they do that, then the state of Alaska will transfer the deed from the borough to the Nelson Lagoon Tribal Council.
Okay, thank you. Another question I have, too, is the $100,000 that we gave to Sandpoint for their certification of the runway for the Saab 2000, where is that all right now? How, where is that all going, or what's going on with that certification process?
Yes, Assemblymember Babcock. Right before the former city administrator, Andy Varner, left, he sent me an email saying that the work on that $100,000 that we gave them for that project, the project's been complete. He's asked for a grant and what we need to do to complete that process. So I'll work with the new administrator, Lamar Cotton, on that. As far as the certification where we are on that, I do not know the answer to that.
Okay, and then the last question I have is we had some issues with the King Cove School and the heating system this Christmas break. Both of our maintenance guys were off, and things got shut off to the heating system in the school, and the school ran several days without heat, and just kind of became a concern. We're lucky that it wasn't really, really cold, but it did get down into the lower 40s in that building, and I'm just wondering why that was a problem, since we have waste heat, and, you know, if these, you know, and I'm glad we have Emil on board. You know, these things need to be looked at. We need maintenance to be done on this stuff. I know they brought somebody in now to kind of show the guys a little bit more on how this heating system works in the school with the waste heat and everything. But, I mean, it could have been a real mess this Christmas break if it would have been any colder. We would have pipes freezing in that in the school. And I just wanted to bring that to the borough's attention.
Okay, I'll start on that one. Apparently, of course, Emil Moback is here. He's in the room with us, our maintenance director. He just got on board. We had been having discussions on the different heating systems, not only here but in King Cove. So we know that the company that goes out there basically and does the heating system, both in that school and the one here, was on his way over there as soon as they found out about the problem, and that was through the school district that he went out there. So Emil's been working with the gentleman that went over there identifying the problems, and Emil's been talking with me. The last I knew today is basically they were doing the assessment, and they were supposed to get a report over to Emil. And Emil's here if he wants to comment on it. I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor and assembly members. Kevin Coase, he's with Long Technologies, and he's made his way over there, and he's putting together a scope of things that we need to have done over there. I guess there's some circulation pumps that need to be replaced, and they're just barely working right now, and then a couple control boards. So he's going to give me an estimate of everything that's going to go on and what needs to be done as of right now, and we'll try to see what we could do to get that, of course, with the assembly and the mayor to get that taken care of over there, along with some of the electrical issues, I guess, that they're having over there also. I am fully aware of what is going on, and I just found out about this just a couple of days ago.
Thank you, and I do realize you just got into that new position, and but it sure would be nice to see you come out here. I don't really remember seeing the last guy come out here too much, and you know, we've got these buildings that we're supposed to, you know, maintain and stuff. We kind of ran into the same thing with the terminal building. There were several circulating pumps that had to be replaced over there too. So then the issues that we ran into with the Sandpoint School, and, you know, spending $300,000 to redo the electrical system. So, you know, I think we need to be a little bit more responsible on the buildings that we're responsible for.
Mayor Osterbeck, can I ask
something?
Sure. So this is Annie. I just wanted to add that based off that planning work session, one of the things that we identified as needing to be done was assessments of borough-owned property. So we are working on that. and we'll have a process in place so we know what we own, we know what needs to be done, and items like that. That hasn't been, I mean, we started the process, but we need to continue that. Deferred maintenance hasn't been necessarily funded, I guess, or done. So we're working on that. In the budget, capital budget ordinance that goes forward, even though it's a non-ordinance change, I did mention at the work session that we have $50,000 we're hoping to put with the False Pass School to do an assessment out there, and also to $50,000 to do an assessment of the King Cove School on items outside of the repairs that were done recently on the roof and the leaking problems. So we'll get those, and then we can identify needs such as what we found in the Sandpoint School with the electrical and address those. And we'll be working with Mayor Osterbach, Amel, folks in this office as well, and with Dow, our engineer that we have on contract, and we can start prioritizing those needs and try and make sure that we have money to appropriated to do them. So we are working on that, and we do realize that that's an issue.
Okay. I'll
I have a question.
Just a minute. To add to that Amel just came on board. Actually, the ink is still probably drying on these contracts. But in this short amount of time, he is working and knows about the problem over in King Cove that we've been informed of 2 days ago. And before that, we've met here with the school superintendent. We've gone up and done an inspection. We haven't done the inspection on the outside of the school yet because it's either pouring down rain or it's all froze over. We don't want to walk around on the roof and that. So we still got that to do. But Amel, myself, Bob Nyberg there, maintenance person up at the school, the superintendent, and the school principal, we've walked through that whole facility. Amel took down a half a legal pad full of notes on things that need to be done. He's in the process of getting prices and getting windows, doors, frames, that type of thing ordered to do some of that, take care of the floor issues that are up there. And once we get outside, we need to address the leaks that are in the building currently. And also on the fourplex we had over here, there had to be replaced zone valves, makeup tank, different things. Those projects have already been done since he's been on board. So he's not getting much time just to sit and wonder why he came on board. I've got him pretty busy. Anyway, there was a question.
I have a question, Mr. Mayor, for Amel.
Yes.
And that is, I got an email from you to put out a poster about people wanting to work. And is that for people within the community to possibly work for things that have to be done in the borough, or can you clarify, please?
Justine, the reason I had Amel do that is, if possible, when we start working in the communities, as we go through and we do the assessments and figure out what needs to be done, I told Amel I wanted him to put out a notice, a request, actually, for people that would be available and what time of the season that they would be available in each individual community that he could contact to work. So we don't, you know, we could employ people in each community that we're working in rather than bringing an off-site crew, say, out of Sandpoint or something. So as much as that as we can get done in each community would be a big help to our maintenance department and would cut down on the expense of moving people back and forth.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
All right. Paul?
I just had a question. You mentioned, I think Chris mentioned there was nobody at the school, nobody was looking in at the school in King Cove. I was not clear about how that works or didn't work.
Chris?
Well, one of our maintenance guys was on vacation, and I don't know what the whole other deal was with our other maintenance guy, but they had hired somebody else, I guess, to kind of oversee the school during Christmas break, and that was kind of when it was brought to my attention that there was some issues with the heat being shut off in the school, and you know, I mean, we just got done putting a new roof on that. I certainly don't want to have to be putting a whole new heating system and all new plumbing in there, too. So,
you know, and just for the Assembly's information, one of the things that hasn't taken place is a memorandum of agreement between the school district and the borough as far as maintenance duties, responsibilities. So that's another thing that the Anchorage staff, Annie and myself, are going to be working on, and with the involvement of the school superintendent. So that's something that we need to get in place, because we start running into problems when one hand doesn't know what the other one is responsible for and supposed to be doing. So we need to get that in place as soon as we can to make this run more smoothly. And just so you all know, too, on the Assembly, when I went through the hiring process for the maintenance director, I used a three-person interview team. We all kept our own scores, that type of thing. So it was Annie Bailey, the administrator, and it was Mike, the school superintendent, and myself. And the reason I included the school is that probably the majority of the work that we're going to do are on the buildings that we own that house the kids for educational purposes. And I felt it was important that both entities get along well, be able to do the upkeep that we need to do with the least amount of resistance. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. Any other Assembly comments? Okay. Public comment. Oh, and who asked? Chris, you were asking about the $100,000 on the sand shed. That project is complete. So, and it has been signed off by the city mayor. Okay? Thank you. No public comment? Hey, Joe.
Yes.
You got a comment?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Trebek. Just for your info, the City of Acton's next council meeting is going to be held January 23rd, I think. Like you're going to be traveling, but a couple of things that I put on our agenda was the sale of the hovercraft and the building itself. Past administration, they did tell us that, you know, if they ever sold the hovercraft, they would give us the building. So that's something we're going to discuss, and maybe before you leave for your trip, we could call you up before our council meeting.
Yeah, that sounds good. So, yeah, and then I think Annie and Mary for sure are going to be out there sometime next month. And if I have time, I'll probably come with them. And then, you know, as far as the other sites go, too, as AML starts traveling around and does on-site inspections, if there's room on the planes and I'm not somewhere else, I'm planning on, at least for this first inspection, and each one of them is accompanying him on this, along probably with the school superintendent. So,
thank you.
And so if you want, why don't you give me a call tomorrow and kind of get an idea what you want to do.
All right. Thank you, Alvin.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment?
Mayor Alvin, Gary from King Cove would like to make a comment.
Yes, sir.
I have been asked to make sure that publicly we do acknowledge that the January 22nd agreement signing in D.C. is an event that we're excited for. We hope that it does lead finally to the land exchange and a road, and we are very happy to be accommodating or accompanying yourself and others from the borough to be in D.C., Mayor Henry Mack, and myself, and Della from the King Cove Corporation. I also want to, again, draw public attention to this media frenzy that we've had in the last 6 days and how Laura Tanis, being so much involved in that, has made all that bearable, that she has been outstanding, and we could not have maintained sort of our own integrity dealing with all the media people that have been trying to get a hold of us without the great organizational and communication skills that Laura has. So we wanted to make sure that the public is aware of how appreciative we are of Laura helping us. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments, Gary. And I'm sure Laura's doing a fine job on it, and appreciate your comments for the help that she's giving you. And, yes, I am planning on attending the signing, so I will be traveling probably with you on that.
Oh. We're chartering with Penn Air.
Well, you're going to charge her with Penn Air? Okay. So the 340, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, we got Mike here, the superintendent for school.
Yeah, I'm Mike Seifert, superintendent. Just want to make a quick comment. I had to deal with a parent, so I'm sorry I arrived late. The last, I guess, week and a half with Emil on board and the new mayor have been the most beneficial in regard to school maintenance that I've experienced in my 5 years here in the district. Emil has been seen more in the school than probably the two previous tech directors combined, or maintenance directors combined. He's measuring windows. The principal mentioned today that she's seen him numerous times. The mayor walked through with me, as well as Emil and the principal and Bob. There's a very large list of things to do, particularly in Sandpoint School, and it's very refreshing that that's being addressed, because I think we can all agree that well, all the buildings are important, but certainly the ones that service our kids are ranked at the top. So I want to thank the new mayor, the assembly, and Emil for getting us off on a good start. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Finding more, everybody else. All right, so hearing no other comments, I appreciate everybody taking the time to attend the meeting, and the input is really important to us, so appreciate that. So as of now, our next meeting date is our scheduled second Thursday of the month, which I believe is the 8th of February. Nobody has a problem with that. That's the last item on the agenda, so we need a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. We have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks.